everyone. Kim Seokjin's Princess here from, God, I think it's been like a week or two since I posted anything, and if I go more than like 6 days without recording anything, I feel really bad. So I'm gonna do the, who made this questionnaire? I'm gonna do Perpetual Williams food questionnaire, because questionnaire is always really a good way for me to get back into the swing of things, and food is my favorite subject after all, so let's get to it. Question one, do you cook? If so, how regularly, and what is your signature dish? Would you be willing to make it on that first episode of MasterChef? And if you do not cook, why don't you? I do cook. Not as often as I should, but I do. I'm a culinary student, which is part of the reason why I'm really excited to do the questionnaire. I'm a culinary student, but I don't actually cook that much at home. I'm specifically a baking and pastry student, so I'll make sweets like 3 times a week, but cooking myself actual healthy, nutritious food or any savory food whatsoever is pretty rare for me. So I'll cook maybe like once a week. I usually make pasta or grill bulgogi at home. That's generally it. My family doesn't have that wide of a palate, so pasta and bulgogi, that's sort of it. Two, is there a cuisine you have some great affinity for? Affinity as in to cook for, or affinity as in to eat? Because to eat, I like Japanese food the best. I don't know. I really like fish, and Japanese food is very aesthetically pleasing. But to cook, I like Italian food the best, because Italian food has a way of blending together ingredients that I find really, really fascinating. Also, Italian food is great comfort food, and I am a big fan of making comfort food. 3. What prompted your interest slash taste slash love for the above cuisine? Well, Italian food, my mama has always been a really big fan of pasta, partially because it's really easy to make, also because my mom was always on her feet and stuff, so she always needs to eat carbs to keep up her energy. Also, my poor mama's skinny as all can be, so she really needed pasta all the time. And so I would just grow up eating that with her a lot. And it's sort of one of our favorite things to eat together. Or was, really. Japanese food is actually a thing I share with my dad. That's our favorite cuisine to eat together. When I was a really picky eater when I was really picker. I was a really picky eater when I was little. You know, like all kids are. But I was a little bit worse than most kids. I ate maybe the things I ate you could count on like one hand. And it was really bad. My parents thought I wasn't ever going to get better. But around the time I was 12, I don't know what changed it, but I remember being convinced to try sushi at 12 and absolutely loving it. And my dad has been feeding me sushi ever since because it's his favorite thing to eat. And it's one of my favorite things to eat now. And it's particularly unfortunate because we live in LA, and he and I have taken a trip to Japan before. I have to have good sushi. I am completely spoiled when it comes to Japanese food. If I don't have the best, it just tastes really weird to me. So, also Japanese sweets are really good. And like I said, Japanese food is really aesthetically pleasing. So, yeah. 4. If you answered yes to question 1, do you cook that cuisine? If no to question 1, are there any dishes you'd like to learn or try your hand at? I think that means question 2. I'm confused. I think that means question 2. I would like to learn how to cook more Japanese food. The ingredients in Japanese cuisine are really interesting, particularly in how they're made and in the way they're used. Like miso. Miso is, I've watched an entire documentary on the making and usage of miso, which it's actually really fascinating. And then there's this one cookbook that I checked out from the library one time called Kyotofu, which specializes in sort of Japanese fusion desserts, specifically like the use of Japanese ingredients in atypical ways in desserts, like miso in desserts when typically miso is a savory ingredient, or sesame seeds, or stuff like that. Tofu. Tofu was a chapter, an entire tofu on how to use tofu in sweets. I should buy that book. It was a really interesting book, and I want to experiment with miso and sweets. That sounds like fun. 5. What are some of your favorite dishes? Oh, I can't really choose that. I have so many favorite dishes, like risotto. Risotto is one of my favorite things to eat and make. Well, not really make, because for some reason, my risotto always just comes out like a little bit off. Don't know why, a little bit off. I really like pho, and I'm so typically Vietnamese. Of course, one of my favorite dishes is pho. And like I said, sushi, curry, Japanese curry is my favorite. Yeah. 6. What are some of your favorite ingredients? Does sugar count? I'm pretty sure sugar counts. Sugar is like the main ingredient in a lot of things. My favorite ingredient is sugar. In my opinion, sugar just makes things better. And I'm a baking and pastry student. I'm allowed to student. I'm allowed to say that sugar is like my favorite ingredient. Not chocolate, though, because chocolate can be really finicky. You ever try tempering chocolate? It's a bitch. Tempering chocolate's a fucking bitch. And then sometimes it'll glaze properly, and then, my ganaches always come out wrong. It's terrible. Yeah, but sugar is my favorite ingredient. It's very versatile. Like, you can put it in sweets, and then you can make candy out of it. You can make caramel. You can make hard candy. You can make taffy. And I've never actually made candy. But I want to. But it's also a little bit dangerous because sugar, when you're boiling it, can be really temperamental and volatile and, you know, burn-y. It can be hot. So I haven't actually tried making candy before, but I really want to. I think I get to do that next year in advanced pastry, I think. I'm not sure. I think so, yeah, because I really want to do that. 7. What is your best dining out experience? Aesthetics/decor of the venue, food itself, drink pairings, company. Consider all the blah 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 context you can. I think my favorite dining out experience that I've had was when I was in Las Vegas a year ago. There was this tiny hole-in-the-wall place called Sweet Raku, I think. And oh my god, it was amazing. I loved it. It's a little like hole-in-the-wall place. So on the outside, it's like really dark. It's just like a little nondescript door. Then we go inside. It's this beautiful, like very modern little bakery. It's not even really a bakery. It's like a little cafe, except very white and modern and very pretty. It was just, there was wine, there were wine racks on one side, and then in the main section of the establishment, it was like a sushi bar. It was like a sushi bar. There was that counter with just that open space that opens up to where everyone is doing their thing, and then there's seats there, and that's where you sit. I don't think there were any other chairs other than at that bar. It was a very small place. But you sat at the bar and you get to watch them assemble the sweets. It was a sweets place. And I was with my little cousin Katie, who was like 10 at the time. But she is a nice little 10-year-old. She was appreciative of the magic that was going on, because it was magical. Oh my god. They were making beautiful sweets right in front of our faces. It was one of the most magical experiences I've ever had in my life. Oh my god, it was gorgeous. And then you could order like this little chef set of like, I think 4 chef's choice sweets coming out one after the other. And it was beautiful. There was like and each one would be like accompanied by house-made sorbet. And it was magnificent. And it was so beautiful. I should have taken pictures, but I was busy eating it. That was a pleasant experience. Ooh, I remember one of the things about the place was the menu was edible. Yeah, the menu is edible. It's made out of like this sort of rice paperish kind of thing. And then when they give you the menu, you order, and then they give you a little dish of raspberry sauce. And it's like, here you go, go eat that. That's a little appetizer for you. And it was so, it's gimmicky, yes, but it was fun. 8. Is there a go-to combination for you after a shitty week, or if you just need to spoil yourself? I wouldn't say a combination. Well, yeah, I don't really pair together food and drink very much. Because for one thing, I'm only 20 years old. I can't drink. Also, I don't like drinking. I don't like the taste of alcohol. So I don't drink wine or any of that. But one of my go-to foods after a bad week is probably pork katsu curry. It's always very warm and very comforting. It's something that I've been eating since I was a little girl. Ooh, or bún chaya. I love bún chaya so much. Which, if I might have to explain, bún chaya is a Vietnamese dish. It's basically egg rolls and rice and vegetables, peanuts, and fish sauce. But then again, I hate vegetables, so take out the vegetables. It's just bún and egg rolls and fish sauce. And it's like the only context that I'll eat fish sauce, because it's a very strong taste. I don't usually partake. Pardon me. Isn't that question 9 for us? What's vegetarian / pescatarian / lacto-ovo-tarians, vegans? What has been your experience with cooking and a particular diet? Broad question, yeah, I know, but I'm genuinely interested. I can't answer that because I've always been a very big meat eater. So I'm gonna skip that. Though I do have a pescatarian friend who I should probably ask about his experiences at some point. 10. What's some really crappy food that you eat too often? I eat so much crappy food all the time. I eat so much Tostino's party pizzas. All the time. I don't know. I really liked them when I was little, so now I eat them all the time. Because it's just so addictively good. And I'm not supposed to eat the entire thing by myself, but I do. And it's terrible. And they're bad for you, but it's delicious. And Hot Pockets? I am a guilty consumer of Hot Pockets. And Instant Ramen. But Instant Ramen reminds me of my childhood, like a lot, because my mom would make it for me. And now I want some I want some mama noodles, damn. Yeah. 11. If you're hosting a dinner party for 6 people on Friday at 7, you've not done anything, and it's Friday at 5:30, what's on your menu? Do you cheat and order in, or have you got the chops to cut it under pressure? An hour and a half is... I would, but You also have to run to the grocery store, and that would be hard. I feel like if I'm having a dinner party for 6 people, what I could do is I could bring out a little tabletop. I could go to the grocery store, I could buy all the ingredients, and just bring out the little tabletop grill, and we'll make spring rolls. Yeah? Yeah, I mean, that's really easy. Go out, you buy the meat, you buy the vegetables, you get the shrimp. I already have rice paper at home. Get the water, get onions, which I hate onions, but my mama always put onions in her spring rolls. And you can make fish sauce in like 10 minutes. And butter. That's really it. So I could do that. I mean, I have 2 of those grills. And so for 6, that would be really easy. Yeah, that would work. Would I make dessert, though? You can't make cookies for a dinner party, can you? Strawberry shortcake, maybe? Whipping cream is really easy. Yeah, I can make something like strawberry shortcake. 12. Have you got a favorite kitchen utensil? I do. I had to buy a Mercer knife set for my classes, for my culinary classes. And it's my best friend. It has more than 2 knives, but the 2 knives that I really use are my 10-inch chef knife and my paring knife. And although I do love my chef knife that I have affectionately named Lucille, yeah, I name my favorite possessions. Don't judge me. I don't know why. Although I do love my chef knife that I've affectionately named Lucille, my favorite kitchen utensil is my paring knife named Ruby. I really like the way it fits in my hand, and I just like paring knives. They're very versatile and very easy to maneuver. So you can't do big things with it, like chop, or, well, you sort of can, really small things, but it's like, paring knives are good with dealing with fruit, which I think is part of the reason I like it. 13. Who is your celebrity chef inspiration? Alton Brown, definitely. One thing, he's very charismatic, which is fun, and very open-minded, and he's very eloquent. But also, above all else, I really admire the way that he approaches food and his philosophy of food. Because along with being a chef, and a writer and an entertainer, he is also an educator. He was on the Food Network, and his show Good Eats educated people about food and the ingredients and the science behind cooking. And I love approaching cooking from a science standpoint. I love science. It used to be one of my favorite subjects. And so Good Eats is basically my favorite show because it's amazing, and Alton Brown is amazing, because science, that's a phrase I say a lot in life, I don't think y'all could tell, but it is science, because science, it's just my general explanation for why something is amazing. 14, do you watch food TV? Yes, so much TV, all the time. Netflix is so bad for my productivity. I watch a lot of Chopped, Cutthroat Kitchen, because Alton Brown. I watch some Cupcake Wars, but Cupcake Wars gets really monotonous to me for some reason. Oh god, what was that one show that I really used to love that got canceled? Sweet Genius with Ben Ron Israel. That show was amazing and beautiful. I love that show so much. Too bad there's only 3 seasons of it, but I own all 3 seasons on Amazon Prime, so I'm happy. And of course, Chef's Table. I love Chef's Table. It's my favorite show in the entire world. Like, ever. I was so happy when I've suddenly gotten Netflix and, oh, there's a 2nd season. I binge-watched all of it in one day. Did not go to sleep. It was beautiful. I love that show. 15. What was your mom or dad's specialty? Well, my mama didn't really cook. Yeah, my mom's not a big kitchen person. She was really busy working when I was little, so she was always working, and then she would either bring home food or my grandma would make us food. So my grandma's specialty was traditional Vietnamese food, you know, the marinated beef and the chicken and her egg rolls. Oh my God, my grandmother's egg rolls. I haven't had them for a year and I miss them so much. My grandma's egg rolls just make the world a better place. And then my dad also doesn't cook. I've never seen my dad cook anything in his life. Ever. But my stepdad's a barbecuing man. But then again, we're from the South. So what man from South isn't a barbecuing man? Makes really good steak. He and my uncle have home smoked some pretty damn good brisket. Smoked that shit for 12 hours was magical. Magical fucking brisket. That was delicious. Oh my God. 16. Wildest thing you've ever eaten. A carving of some weird fucking stuff. Well, maybe not weird, we're like, not in comparison. Like, there's this Vietnamese dish that to me is really fucking weird. And I forget the name of it. I really, really forget the name of it. But it's one that they only make around Chinese New Year. And the only time Finn's exposed to it is at the China at Hoi Cha. It's either duck. I think it's like duck. And that duck has been sort of cooked in its own blood. So when you get it, it's just this container of like ground of this ground meat in thick reddish sauce. And it's really, really gross. And I hate it so much. Oh my God, I hate it so much. But my stepdaddy would eat it by the platefuls. It wouldn't be Hoi Cha if he did not have 3 plates of that. And I would always be like, why? I've also had puffer fish, which is actually not bad. And for those of y'all who don't know, puffer fish or fugu is, it's really only served in Japan. And I think they're starting to serve it in other places, but really that's where they started and that's where they mostly will catch and prepare and serve it. And it's highly deadly. You have to go through intense schooling and have to have a license to prepare and serve fugu. Because if you don't cut it, if I think if you the liver or the kidney is where the poison is. So you have to be really, really careful with how you cut it. Because if you don't precisely take out that part where the poison is, then you're going to poison someone and they're going to die. It's awful. What was that? Okay, I'm back. I don't know what that was. I think a pack. There was a package at the door. Anyway, question 17. On the above note, is there something which is generally not so popular but you love and subsequently dig into regularly? I really like yuzu, which is this Japanese citrus, and it's a really odd flavor. It's very tart, very sweet, a little bit bitter. It's like if lemon had a baby with wasabi and it just came up with this really weird citrus fruit in Japan baby. And if it's used too much, it can be a very strong flavor. But it's also very versatile. Like, mostly when you see it applied, it's in sushi. Like, it's a very sweet relative of wasabi. So they'll like put it on top of your yellowtail and it sort of clears the sinuses in that way, but much more pleasant because I don't like wasabi. I don't eat spicy food. But I've also seen it used in sweets. So it's very, the tastes can be very similar to lemon and be replaced with it and be replace it in a very fascinating way. Is there any other ingredients I can think of? Nope, no unusual ingredients. 18. How do you have your steak? Medium rare, of course. My stepdaddy always had it medium rare, says it's the best way to achieve maximum flavor in a steak. So I have my steak medium rare. 19. Any other interesting food-related stories? Not interesting per se, but there is this one incident that comes to mind. The incident that made me sort of reevaluate my life and made me realize what exactly I want to do with it. Because, like I said, now I'm a culinary student. I feel like I mentioned that a lot, and I'm sorry if that's annoying. I'm a culinary student. I'm baking a pastry student. But I made a decision to become that about a year ago. Before that, I was actually in Louisiana as an undergrad trying to pursue a degree in psychology with a minor in neuroscience. I was going to go on to med school to become a doctor, a psychiatrist, specifically a child and adolescent psychiatrist. So I was taking all the science classes, all the science labs, fucking worried about chemistry and fucking neuroscience all the time. And then one of my best friends, Charles, it's his birthday. And it's like, Charles, what do you want for your birthday? What cake do you want? And this was, before this, I never really baked. I would make cupcakes out of the box, generally. But I was like, it's my best friend's birthday, I want to do something special. So what do you want? He's like, well, my two favorite cakes are pineapple upside down cake and galette de roi. I just messed that up so bad. Galette de roi. King cake. I tried to do the French thing because it's different than the New Orleans king cake, but I can't do it. It's R-O-I-S, so I can't really say it. But it's different than the king cake you imagine, because king cake you imagine is the Mardi Gras king cake, which is that enriched dough. It's that enriched dough with the glaze, the really sugary glaze, and the sugar on top in purple and gold and green. But traditional king cake is, well, it varies actually, but the version that Charles was talking about was my friend's name, Charles, was a cake. It was basically a pastry, and it's two layers of it's puff pastry, and in the middle is frangipan, almond cream. And so I was like, you know what? It's your birthday. It's quite close to Mardi Gras. So I'm going to make this. I'm going to make this by hand. I didn't actually completely make it by hand. You ever made puff pastry? It is time consuming, especially when you only have a dorm kitchen to work with. So I bought the puff pastry. But I did make the frangipan by scratch, which is a mixture of custard and almonds and almond flour. So that was interesting. And I remember it took me so long. I was in the kitchen for like 4 hours. Even with having bought the puff pastry. And I remember that was my first time making custard. And it was really difficult because custard is really easy to mess up. It's a staple and you have to get a lot of practice to make it perfect. But initially it can burn, it can curdle, anything can go wrong. But I remember taking it out the oven. I remember being really insecure, like, oh my god, what if this sucks, what if this sucks, and being absolutely terrified to try it, because I couldn't bear to try it. I was like, nope, if I try it, it will confirm that this is terrible, and I can't do it. And so my other friend, Charles' roommate, is like, you're being silly. Shut up. And then cuts a mini cake in half, eats it, and tells me it's delicious. Everyone has it and says it's delicious. And then more people come down into the common room from all around the floor because everyone can smell the cakes coming, emanating from the common room. And it was a wonderful experience making food for the people I love and putting those smiles on people's faces. Food to me is a pure, wonderful expression of love, of providing and caring for the people that you hold dear to your heart. And so ever since then, I knew that what I want to do with my life is I want to make sweets, and I want to keep putting those smiles on people's faces and keep causing that smell that brings people in wanting to join and share in this experience with other people. Good food brings people together, puts smiles on their faces. And I want to provide that for the people I love and for everyone. I want to provide that for the people of the world and make them smile. I got off topic. I ranted a little bit. Anyway, 20, last question. Has this made you hungry or in the mood for anything in particular? God, yes, I want some king cake and some of my grandma's egg rolls. Both those are New Orleans, so I should probably find a way to fix that. Well, this was long and rambling and probably horribly off topic, but it was fun. I did love ranting for, what, half an hour? A little bit more than half an hour on my favorite topic. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you soon.